So, as you mentioned, this patient really didn't respond very well. What was the next step?
So the next step, we went on to start her on the gilteritinib. So she, at that point, I think with all of her prior medical history for the breast cancer and metastatic disease, having failed intensive chemotherapy with refractory disease, at that point, she was pretty beat up, discouraged as well mentally and physically. So we were able to initiate an outpatient tyrosine kinase inhibitor and support her well enough that she was actually able to go home from the hospital on that. She's now been on therapy for about 2 or 3 months with the gilteritinib. We have seen recurrence of some circulating blasts, but for right now, she's continuing, we think, to quote unquote have clinical benefit with the drug, remaining outpatient, having some quality of life, and we're looking for additional, maybe experimental agents for her if she continues to progress.
Any tolerability issues that she's experiencing or that you've seen other patients experience with gilteritinib?
So gilteritinib in general is well tolerated. There is a pretty high incidence of cytopenias associated with that agent. So one of the things that we saw was her counts were recovering with peripheral blasts. And when we started the gilteritinib, they all fell again. So generally, myelosuppression is something to keep an eye on. They also get some LFT abnormalities, which in her case, we kept an eye on as well because of the presence of her liver metastases. And some of our patients, you know, they do get some nausea and some vomiting, but mostly the liver function tests abnormalities. There can be some patients that get QTc prolongation, which is something to look at, and some patients do develop orthostatic hypotension and peripheral edema. So those are all things that we've kept an eye on in her case. However, in general, most patients are able to tolerate this well with some dose adjustments in the outpatient setting. And the benefit of gilteritinib is that generally activity of the drug occurs fairly quickly. So we generally see the counts falling. And if patients are going to respond, we would tend to see a response within 4 to 8 weeks of starting the drug.
So from your point of view, when you think about FLT3 mutations and drugs like gilteritinib, midostaurin, do you think it sort of, you know, follows the concept of a driver mutation? When the drug is used as monotherapy, do most patients have some type of response?
In our study, in patients who have not been heavily pretreated with FLT3 inhibitors, unlike this patient who had gotten midostaurin, we had seen about half of patients really respond to the drug. And there's some studies that have been done at larger cancer centers, MD Anderson, saying that if you've been repeatedly, and this would be exposed to FLT3 inhibitor therapy, by the time you get to gilteritinib, it might not work as well. I think in patients who are relatively naive to the drug, we do get probably 30 or 50% response rates in the ADMIRAL trial with a phase 3 trial. The overall CR/CRI rate was about 30%. So I would say about 30 to 50%. But then there are some patients like our patient who didn't technically get a complete remission, but the drug has kept their disease under check as an outpatient now for 2 or 3 months. So I think there is also something to be said, particularly in older patients that have comorbidities or other diseases as she did, to have some clinical benefit of the drug in the absence of pure CR.
You know, and I think about a waterfall plot in a solid tumor, for example, lung cancer with an EGFR tumor mutation is getting, you know, an EGFR TKIs. Most of the patients, almost all of them go down. They don't all fit the criteria for a response.
Right.
And that's kind of what I was getting at. How often do you see people sort of blow right through it?
Occasionally we do. People that have very aggressive disease, as you said, it's a driver mutation. So I think that the reason that, for example, your original question, like why did we use a FLT3 inhibitor and not use CPX? That's because my preference is to use a FLT3 agent because I feel like specifically blocking that driver mutation may be more beneficial clinically than just giving more cytotoxic. That's just my bias, but I do feel like inhibiting that driver mutation is potentially putting the brakes on something that's driving or propelling the disease forward, as opposed to standard cytotoxic chemotherapy, which affects everything equally, right?